listening to the cycling podcast Femina in association with Rafa, the fastest clothing in the world tour, the home of cycling with character. Ride and watch with Rafa in 2019 as they partner EF Education First and Canyon SRAM.
Listening to the cycling podcast Femina, brought to you by Skoda, dedicated to closing the gender gap in cycling, one race, one cyclist at a time. This is our time.
Today we are in Bilth, Wells.
Okay, Molly Weaver, who do you think is going to win today?
If you look at how Cassia rode yesterday, you've got to say she's obviously on great form. I think some have a really strong team and maybe a few options. Quite a lot of the teams have lost a lot of riders. So I think maybe we'll have some interesting breakaways go just because that's their shot at a stage win. But I think it's hard to look past Lizzie as well because her Trek team is exceptionally strong. I think I'd predict maybe four or five riders fighting out for the finish. And I think you might see a couple of Trek in there with Longo Borghini as well. So they've got numbers, which really helps them. So I think maybe, you know, a couple of treks, a Cassia thrown in there, and, you know, maybe a couple of wild cards as well, yeah.
You made it! So strong! Woo! Oh my god!
Well, we were played in there by Molly Weaver, who you, Rose Manley, met at the start this morning.
I did. It's funny when you start talking about something and you haven't said our names yet, because then I don't want to go into too much detail, because I'm aware that you need to say Orla Shenouy is also joining us.
That's
here.
That's his way of trying to cut you short. This is Orla Shenouy. Let's just take control.
Yeah.
I'm Orla Shenouy. This is Rose Manley, and we're with Richard Moore. This is the cycling podcast Femina. Subversion.
And after we heard from Molly Weaver, we heard a little clip from the finish, and that was Lizzie Dagnan having just won the stage and to take the overall lead in this race. And we thought we'd hear Molly Weaver first, because she called it pretty much bang on, didn't she? She knows these roads very well, and she knew what was going to happen.
Yeah, she's not from Wales, as she keeps saying to everyone. She's from just over the border, but when she goes out and goes training, these are the roads that she goes on. If she's looking for a good challenge anyway, sometimes she doesn't feel up to it, then she doesn't. But she was, you know, she called it perfectly and was really putting a lot of focus on those first few climbs, where some of those, the uncategorised climbs, some of them reached gradients of like 16%. Uncategorised. So that isn't even the big challenge of the day.
There was barely, I think it was about 2 kilometres of flat at one stage, but there was barely any flat on today's stage. It was brutal. I loved it.
It was a roller coaster.
And can I say also, you were in the Canyon SRAM car and you weren't sick, and it was that
undulating. I know. That was amazing. I get car sick just sitting in cars sometimes. And I got to the final 5K and I was very excited because I hadn't got car sick yet. And then, of course, it was a windy descent to the finish. And I was like, okay, yeah, now I'm feeling it. But yeah, survived.
Well, I'm sure you've got lots to say as well, because they had a big
always
part. Well, yeah, sorry, that was
I'm sure
unnecessary. They were very involved in the stage. They had a lot to play for today. So without further ado, should we crack on with the story of the stage, Orla?
So are we doing yesterday's results first, or am I going
this
to
is a shambles
the
today? What a shambolic start to a podcast.
I was going
to
deal with all that a little bit later on, if that's
fine,
okay.
That's absolutely fine. So today our theme of the stage is Roald Dahl. Now, before any Powys locals complain that Roald Dahl is not from this area, I know. We know he was born in
Near Cardiff,
and went to school initially in Cardiff. But lots of things in Powys are named after Roald Dahl, including a housing estate. And we looked for famous people from Powys, and I'm really sorry we couldn't find anyone that we could hitch a theme onto the back
of. But
you
did find out a couple of facts about the area.
I did, because I asked the BBC Wales guys for advice, and they couldn't think of anyone either, except for I think Powys was the original seat of Parliament in Wales, and the gentleman who came up with the first cooperative, is it Robert Owens? I'm going to have to Google that.
I think
Robert Owens was from Powys, although he moved to Scotland in the end. Anyway, we're going for Roald Dahl because he's Welsh, and there's a housing estate named after him in Powys, so that will do. Shall I crack on?
Yes.
Right. So this was the queen
yes,
stage
please.
Of this year's women's tour. Promised much. Mercifully, it delivered today. We had an intriguing situation at the start of the day with Leanne Lippert in the race lead, but on the same time as Cassia and Evie Adoma, with Lizzie Deignan just 3 seconds back. So the question was it going to be the great mouse plot, a case of nibbling away at time bonuses with the sprints, or going all in for the stage win? Well, we had a breakaway go early in the stage, which suggested it wouldn't be a day to take the lead with the time bonuses. 10 riders in that break, including Leah Kirchman, Caroline Canuel, Lisa Klein, Ellen Van Dyke, Shayla Gutierrez. You could say that Van Dyke, Kirchman and Gutierrez were maybe the gremlins in that breakaway. Their presence, as well as the sheer number, actually, of riders in the break, probably what doomed it in the end, really. Lisa Klein was instructed by Canyon SRAM to sit up and come back to the bunch because they figured they needed the numbers around Nivea Doma to work together. The break then was brought back and the inevitable attacks followed, with Didericsson, Magnaldi, Paladin and Bianic getting away, with Lauren Kitchen joining. That group that was eventually whittled down, and after getting a gap of some 4.5 minutes, Canyon SRAM and Sunweb did the work to bring them back in for the big climb of the day. The enormous crocodile of a bunch swallowing up the break on that climb. So they timed it perfectly then, Canyon SRAM and Sunweb, but Sunweb didn't manage to capitalise. Instead, it was Nivea Doma and the two Trek riders, Lizzie Deignan and Elisa Longo-Borghini, who made it away. They had to work together, those three, to keep that break, and Nivea Doma really needed to outfox those two by going solo before the dash for the line. She didn't, and had the two Trek riders to take on in the battle for the finish. So no tales of the unexpected for the would-be fantastic Mr. Fox. Instead, Nivea Doma the filling in the Trek finish line sandwich, with Deignan champion of the world, Nivea Doma in second and Longo-Borghini in third. Now that result meant that Deignan took the leader's jersey from Leanne Lippert, now leads by just 1 second over Nivea Doma. A dream ending to two fables for her, both the story of the stage and that of the overall. No, wait, there's more. Deignan has 4. What a score. Sorry, revolting rhymes there. But as well as the stage and the overall, Deignan also keeps best British rider and is now leader of the points jersey competition as well. No overall for Nivea Doma, but ah, sweet mystery of life. She does take the Queen of the Mountains jersey. Corinne Rivera keeps the sprint jersey, and she got a kiss-kiss on the stage from our dusty Springfield competition winner, Fiona Prue. As you do, a dream come true, she said. Sorry, another rhyme stew. So that's stage 5. We've had dirty beasts of stages over the last few days. Just one more to go.
Was Violet Beauregard not up there in an intermediate sprint?
I think she was second on the second intermediate sprint. Oh. Yeah.
That was amazing.
Well, thank you.
I just really enjoyed the little rhymes.
Well, I'm always inspired when we're sitting next to our BFG. You just give something, don't you, Richard? Yes.
I thought you were going to more likely call him a twit.
The fastest clothing in the world tour. The home of cycling with character. Ride and watch with Ratha in 2019 as they partner EF Education First and Canyon SRAM.
I really love my Ratha Bibshot because they have the best fit, individual fit, and I have a good feeling. I can ride my bike as long as I want. Hey, I'm Lisa Klein and I'm racing for Canyon SRAM. I think the most important thing is that they are pretty individual, so we can choose our chamois, the length, so yeah, it suits like a kind of second skin, and we have different fabrics for every temperature, so there's no excuse to don't ride your bike. I think the Ratha Bibshots are quite the best in the world.
Well, before we hear again from the witches, thanks very much indeed to Ratha for being the headline sponsor of the cycling podcast Femina. Very grateful to them. And tonight we have launched our Pedalers de Charme poll. Hopefully the t-shirts will arrive at our next hotel where we are headed. And we'll be able to present that tomorrow morning. Now, who is nominated? I hear you ask.
Who is nominated?
Thank you, Orla. It's Lizzie Banks, Lauren Kitchen, Anna Plichta, and Corinne Rivera. And at the moment, Corinne Rivera is leading.
Oh,
already?
What are they nominated for, I hear you ask?
What are they nominated for?
Well, I mean, Lizzie Banks, just for her sunny disposition throughout the weather, she's riding very well as well. She's still up there. Started
not just sunny disposition, but yeah, just she's overwhelmingly a ball of positive energy.
She's also so confident.
Pardon?
So confident, like we're gonna, you know, we're gonna do something this stage.
She's more giddy rather than confident, I think. I'm not sure it's confidence. It's more taking a race by the scruff of the neck, which is a wonderful way to race it.
Lauren Kitchen was spotted comforting Gracie Elvin after the big crash the other day, so that earned her a nomination. Anna Plikta, who was off the front at the time of the crash, was spotted very conscientiously putting her litter back in her pockets, which, Rose, right, I think you said that that's pretty much common among female riders.
I don't want to be accused of putting Anna Plichter's, you know, putting her out of the running.
No, but she's there.
I was going to say, I think the peloton is a lot more conscious of that now. I know that Emily Diederichsen was emptying loads of wrappers out of her jersey at the finish.
Just chucking them all over the grass at the finish.
Yeah.
Out of sight of the TV cameras. Yeah. Anyway, Corinne Rivera is her fourth nominee. I thought her response to her teammate Leanne Lippert at the summit of Burton Dasset was very touching. She was very pleased for her, last year's winner, of course. She kept saying she was very proud of her. That was nice. And then this morning at the Sunweb bus, she was talking to some Welsh school kids and asking them if they could speak Welsh to her. So
did she give it a
learn
go?
Some lingo.
She said it, she was curious, and she said it sounded Chinese to her. So there you go. So she's there, and I think she's the early front runner, and I wouldn't be surprised if she wins it. So
I think is this going against kind of electoral.
No, there's no rules about this, rules. Rose. There'll be no inquiry.
Okay.
We haven't accepted any dodgy payments either.
We would, though, if any were coming our way.
Absolutely. What a stage, though. You know, this has been a slow boiler, hasn't it, this race? And we did get a good stage yesterday to Burton Dasset, and today's was a cracker. I mean, a great course, very, very tough. It was a huge old climb. You might have spotted me at the top of that, Orla, standing there.
I did. Bent over. Yeah, I saw the top of your head.
Gasping for air.
Yeah.
No, it was great and very. I mean, dead roads. You know, that kind of surface, it just sucks the energy from you. There was no real. You couldn't really get a lot of momentum there. It was up and down like a roller coaster. But it was tough going, really tough going, and it felt like a headwind whichever direction you were going in.
There was a headwind coming into that final climb, which I think maybe did Cassian Ivedoma's chances of getting away a bit of harm, but it was just brilliant, and we've been desperate for this, and I think the last two stages have really made this race come to life. And I was saying to you, Rose, after the stage today, I've really enjoyed the last couple of days racing, because today, again, because it was such a hard day, we could have had that really safe defensive riding until that final climb, because it was so tough, and we didn't. We had that 7, I think it was, to begin with, then 9 rider, then 10 rider breakaway, that it was decided that was too dangerous, ran that back in again, and immediately we had the counter attack, which got away. We had at one stage in the team cars, Tiffany Cromwell dropped back to the Canyon SRAM car and said, Sunweb are asking us to control this break, should we at this stage? And she said, I don't think we should. Ronnie the DS agreed. He said, no, it's fine, like, let it get away to whatever, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, and then this Sunweb car pulled up alongside as well and asked, you know, should we be controlling this? So they were very nervous about that second breakaway, which was then brought in. And then
say, Orla, when they asked whether they should control it?
I said go for it. You know, I mean, my expert advice. So obviously they ignored that and did their own thing. And then to have the three riders that we had in the finale as well is, I think, very fair in this race, because they were absolutely brilliant. The three of the strongest riders that there are, and to see them battling it out. And Lizzie Deignan in front of a home crowd. I know she's not Welsh, but she is British. She got such a cheer on the podium with all of her jerseys. It even gives me goosebumps even talking about it now. I thought it was just a blooming brilliant day of racing.
And on that climb, I mean, it was a proper, proper long climb made for someone like Cassian Ivedoma. And she, you know, did what we expected her to do. She wondered if she maybe left it a little bit late. Hannah Barnes set her up, as we'll hear in a moment. But I was standing right at the top, and when they came past, it was Nivea Dome on the front, Lisa Longoborghini and Lizzie Deignan. I have to say, Longoborghini, but especially Deignan, were swinging at that point. And I, you know, it looked to me like Nivea Dome was fairly comfortable, and the other two were just hanging on. But it was still quite a long way to the finish. So I know there was another climb after that. It wasn't maybe set up perfectly for Nivea Dome, and there she was with two Trek Segafredo riders. But let's hear from Cassian Ivedoma, because she was the main protagonist on that climb. You enjoyed that stage. Tell me what happened on the big climb. Is that where you sort of really made that gap?
Yeah, actually, Hannah Burns, she started to pace this climb from the bottom, and I knew that I need to just feel the moment to attack. And once, it was so funny actually, because once I was like, okay, this is the moment, then Lizzie went on the ride, so we kind of like went together. And at the top of the climb, we were with three, Elisa Longoborghini, Lizzie and myself, and I knew that this situation is not very great for me because I have two track riders, although I was eager to ride to help them going because I wanted to gain some extra seconds on the other rivals. And yeah, then Lizzie was just kind of taking her time to rest and getting ready for the sprint. And yeah, I still kind of believe that maybe I will be able to win it, but she's too fast for me.
What did you think of the climb? I mean, that was a proper climb. I think this is the toughest stage they've ever had on the women's tour. I guess you liked it.
Yeah, definitely. I really enjoy that. But also, it's crazy that all those stages are extremely long and hard, and still the race can be won or lost by just 1 second. So it shows that everyone is just super eager to fight and very determined to win this race.
And what do you think about tomorrow? You're going to get that time back? Still got a good chance of winning it?
Definitely, we will not give up. We want to bring victory. Although I know that Trek is an extremely strong team and they can just control the race from the start. But first, we just need to sit down with my team and look at the stage and analyze what we can do and how we can win it or how can we defend the second position.
I was actually standing on top of the climb, so I was there and I saw you lead them up, and it looked like Longoborghini and Lizzie were both really struggling to hold your wheel. Was there a moment on the climb where you thought you might have been able to drop them?
Actually, like, you know, when I think back right now, I kind of regret that I haven't started a bit earlier, you know, that maybe I should attack in the middle of the climb and not like waiting for the last, I don't know, 400 meters. I race, I learn, let's say.
Tomorrow's another day.
Yeah, exactly.
So I was Nivea Doma wondering if she maybe left it a bit late, but I think also... Well, Orla, you were in the team car. Why did you tell her to attack at that particular moment? Or
I told her to attack earlier, so she ignored me. No, the plan was always for her to go at 127 kilometres. They figured that was the best chance for her. It was one of the steepest parts of the day, so they thought that's when she could really gain her advantage. And on the radio at the time, Ronnie was, you know, giving her Dixie, as we say back home, encouraging her, go, go, go. And she obviously just couldn't do it, you know. And the thing is, once she was in that break with Lizzie and with Elisa, the feeling was that Lizzie was going to win it, actually. Ronnie just said she's the strongest rider and it's going to be very hard for her now. But their plan really went to plan, actually, because what they wanted was for the whole of the Canyon SRAM team to be together until the foot of that climb. They wanted whatever breakaway that there was up ahead to be no more than a minute and a half ahead, preferably 45 seconds. It was about 40 seconds by then. I think it was Hannah was able to stay with Cassia quite far into that climb. So as a team, they couldn't have ridden it any better, really. Cassia obviously didn't have whatever she needed to be able to make the move off the front, but I don't think they can reproach themselves in any way. They rode it exactly as they planned to.
Especially if you compare that to Team Sunweb. So I was at the bottom of that last climb, and I saw Canyon SRAM go past, and there was like four of them at the front of that chasing group, you know, with the break of two just 40 seconds ahead, and break of three, sorry. And they were all on the front, all driving that group. And then I actually had packed up and started getting in my car, and it was only then that I saw in the fourth group three of Team Sunweb who had the green jersey, and they were just ahead of the broom wagon. And I thought, isn't that funny that those teams, I mean, it ended up being now it's a Trek Segafredo Canyon SRAM battle, but it was at the beginning of the day a Sunweb Canyon SRAM battle. Isn't that funny how those two fortunes have completely changed?
And especially when Sunweb rides such a good team race usually. And we saw it last year with Corin Rivera when she took the lead on stage two, and her team really marshalled her to the finish on stage five, as it was then. So yeah, just not that same strength in the team today. And Canyon SRAM and Trek were really able to capitalise on that.
But it was wonderful to see the race so broken up. This is what the riders, everybody's been crying out for with this race. And you hope that some of the other riders in the top 20 in the world who are missing are watching and you know, fancying it for next year. Ashley Moulman-Passio, I'm sure, would have been a factor today as well. She'd have loved these climbs. Unfortunately, I had to pull out a couple of days ago. But, I mean, Lizzie Dagnan, you know, playing down her chances all week, you know, but being super consistent all week, and won the stage and took the jersey. Here's what she had to say at the finish. Lizzie, congratulations. Was this unexpected?
Yeah, you could say that again. I felt useless at the start of the stage. I said to the girls, look, I'm not on a good day. But actually, you know, the longer I got into it, the more I started to come around and think, believe in it. And Ina was a great kind of psychologist in the car, kept telling me to believe in it. And Elisa kept telling me to believe in it. And it was down to the team, really, that I pulled that off.
And then on the big climb, at the top, it was the three of you there. What was that climb like? It was a real monster.
Yeah, it was pretty tough going. Typical Welsh climb, exposed and grippy and long. And yeah, actually, we knew that there was going to be that stiff climb, kind of uncategorised after it. Julian Wynn gave me a bit of an insight there, and was grateful to know that that was coming, because the launch was that climb, but really where we made the difference was on that steep section.
You've been talking down your chances all week and saying, you know, this is the end of a long block for you. Have you been bluffing, or is it genuinely, is your form a surprise to you?
Genuinely a surprise, yeah. I would not have believed you if you'd told me that I'd be in the leader's jersey this morning. Not at all. So I think it's all just coming together. Like, racing with Elisa is really good fun. I always knew that we'd be good teammates. We complement each other's racing styles very well, but it's just about me kind of getting that race fitness back and that kind of gelling with Elisa, and that's growing every race, so that's pretty fun.
So tomorrow, what's going to happen?
Oh my goodness, I mean, that's the problem with getting a leader's jersey, isn't it? You got to think about tomorrow. I don't know, that's Ina's responsibility. I've done my bit today.
But you must be thinking, you know, with the form you've got and the stage there is tomorrow, that you've got a chance of holding on to it.
I would like to think so, yeah. I mean, I never ever envisaged coming into the Tour with this situation. But we're in a strong position. We'll definitely miss Trixie Warwick. That was a real blow to us to lose her. She's a great road captain, and she would have been really valuable tomorrow. So we'll obviously fight until the end for it.
Hi, I'm Sarah Storey. I'm the Academy Principal of the Skoda DSi Cycling Academy. Well, here at the concourse, just above this amazing track here at the London Velodrome, we've got what bikes set up, we've got some turbo trainers set up, and we're about to do our testing day to select five applicants for the Skoda DSi Cycling Academy for 2019.
It's pretty amazing. I was inspired by the 2012 Games. I was a competitive swimmer at the time, so saw the cycling and thought, I want to give that a go. And then the Giro came to Ireland in 2014, set my A-levels at the time. I got my first road bike then, and 4 years ago our cycling club, Armagh Down, was founded, and I'm the only girl with two other ladies, so started racing 3 months ago, and this opportunity came along, so couldn't pass it up. It's too good. My name is Lauren Garvey, I'm 23 and I'm from Newry, County Down. First time I've ever done a 12 minute test, so it's just about getting the pacing right, I suppose, so roll on the next one. Thrown into the deep end a bit, although we have done turbo training with the club, and we've done the odd FTP test, but that was a few months ago, so I think I did okay. I've started racing back home, so I want to keep going with that, and hopefully someday make it big, so maybe represent Northern Ireland or Ireland someday, so see how it goes. This is only the start.
Thank you very much indeed to Skoda for supporting Cycling Podcast Femina, giving us our wonderful car. And we heard there another clip from the Skoda Cycling Academy Day, which Lionel Burney went along to the other day, and it was a great success apparently. So we'll hear a bit more from that in our final episode from the Women's Tour tomorrow. A bit of business before we go on to a point that Rose just made, which is very interesting, I thought. You mentioned that we saw Fiona Prue at the finish. She had a day in the VIP area, to which we are not allowed. Mick Bennett, if you're listening. She then presented, she was on stage presenting a jersey, seemed to have a great day. In fact, we spoke to her at the finish. Let's hear from her now. Fiona, you told us you weren't a winner, but I looked at your Twitter bio and you are a winner. You've won a silver medal in the time trial. What was it, Masters time trial?
Yeah, 2017, so that feels a bit like a previous life, to be honest. Unfortunately, I was hit by a car out training last year, so I've had 14 months off the bike, three lots of surgery. So yeah, just kind of trying to get back to some level of fitness. So this is just awesome to be back amongst sort of the world's best and kind of reminding me what cycling's all about.
Have you had a nice day?
Oh, it's been absolutely superb. Yes, so grateful for the opportunity. And I never win anything, so yeah, I feel really lucky close, to though. Be here.
And you were on stage there presenting the jersey. I missed that. Who were you presenting the jersey to?
Corinne Rivera. So yeah, she's had the sprints jersey since the start. So yeah, she looks like she owns the sprints competition at the moment, pretty much.
Great. Well, congratulations again on your prize and guessing all Orla's references. Yeah. Not guessing, knowing all Orla's references.
Yeah, I had a little bit of help from Google.
Oh!
So did I!
Oh my goodness.
She still went through the entire stage of the story and identified them. I think that's fair enough. Listen,
if Kobo can be stripped of his Vuelta title 7 years after the event, I think we're going to have to revisit this.
Fiona, thank you very much. A worthy winner, and you did a brilliant job on stage. Don't listen to him.
Well, your working of the references was utterly unbelievable. It was so clever. It really was.
Definitely wins.
let's cut this now. So that was Fiona Prue. In last night's podcast, I read out an email from Mike Waring, and that's been deemed worthy of a crate of iceberg. They got in touch with us today and said they'd like to send Mike a crate of iceberg. So Mike, we'll be in touch and arrange that. If anybody wants to know why, listen to last night's episode. We got a great email today from Corinne Furness. Thanks, Corinne, for guessing correctly all the Philip Larkin and Daniel Freeb references in last night's story of the stage. Very entertaining email indeed. I'm not going to read it out for obvious reasons. Corinne, you know what I mean. But it was very good. And a science and sport bundle will be winging its way to you. Now, Rose.
Shall I for the pub quizzers out there, shall I say what they were?
Oh, you never
give
the answers.
We have to give the answers. You have to tie it all up.
Yep.
Yeah, it's true.
So just very briefly. So death is no different wind at than withstood. That was Philip Larkin. Through the gloom, a blink of white suspended by the twin strobes of a car's headlights. That was Daniel Freeb. Being brave lets no one off the grave. That was Daniel Freeb. No, it wasn't. It was Philip Larkin. This is one of my favourites. Two eyes ablaze, two shoulders sway, two lips purse, two thighs pump, pound and pummel. That was Daniel Freeb.
Jilly Cooper.
Yes.
Bicycle racing is a strange game, such as the vagaries that even the strongest cyclist will lose far more often than he or she wins. That was obviously Daniel Freeb. Originality is being different from oneself, not others. That was Philip Larkin. And something like nothing happens anywhere. Once again, that was Philip Larkin. So well done, anyone who got all of those.
And good luck with the Roald Dahl challenge. Now, I should say that Corinne, in her email, she called it the Freebkin mashup, which I quite like.
But we can't be surprised that Corinne got all that right, because
I feel a BA, MA and two-thirds of a PhD in English literature, alongside reading a lot of pro cycling magazines, has been leading up to this moment.
I like that we've given her a raison d'etre after all of those years of reading.
It's all been worth it, Corinne. It's all been worth it.
That's one night on the cycling podcast Femina.
I'm wondering if that last third of a PhD could just be a study in Daniel Freeb now. If she's two-thirds through, but one-third to go.
Yeah.
Why not? You made the point, as we were listening to Lizzie Deignan there, Rose, that what happened today, the scenario brought back memories.
It did. It was a real flashback, I thought, to 2017 and Ardennes week there, where in, I think it was all of the, the Ardennes and the Amstel Gold, because Richard would be a pedant about that it always came down to three riders, and one of them was Kasia, who was in Canyon SRAM. And
she was in Marion Voss's team year.
Oh, no, she wasn't.
It was the year before she joined Canyon SRAM.
Yes, that's true. She was in WM3, was it? So it always came down to Kasia in WM3 and two Bols Dolmans riders, one of them being Lizzie Deignan, who is still here today, and Anna van der Breggen being the other one. And it seemed then, as today, I think, that she actually seemed to be the strongest rider, but was being always overdone by the teamwork.
Outnumbered, completely outnumbered.
And that is exactly how it played, like you said, Orla, that once she'd got to that climb and she hadn't shaken off those two Trek Segafredo riders, it was inevitable that Lizzie Deignan was going to win.
Like you say, tomorrow's not as hard as today, but
Lizzie Dynan was hanging on for dear life at the top of that climb. Now, there's maybe nothing as hard as that tomorrow, but, you know, if it comes down to just if Canyon SRAM can make it really, really hard and a race of elimination, maybe there's a chance for Kashyyyk Niewiadoma.
It was quite funny because whenever the stage finished, I asked Ronnie what the plan was for tomorrow, the Canyon SRAM DS, and whether the overall was still, obviously it's still a possibility, but you know, just how possible back, it is. And he sounded quite downbeat about it. He sounded almost as if Lizzie Dignan had this sewn up now. When I spoke to Tiff Cromwell, however, it was completely different. And she said, yep, that's it. We're gonna take this tomorrow. 1 second is absolutely nothing. So shall we hear from Tiffany Cromwell now? Here's what she had to say after the stage.
Tiff, that was a hard race, well race, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was definitely pretty tough out there. Like the first hour racing, you know, we were definitely had some work to do, trying to get the right breakaway. And, you know, obviously there was one that we weren't happy with, so we had to chase pretty hard. But as you said, it was full commitment today for the overall. And, you know, the goal was always to have Kazi in the best position for that steep QOM, the last one, and then for those climbs afterwards. And, you know, everyone gave it their all today. Like Lisa was on fire. I was definitely suffering a bit more today, but I tried to do what I could, and then she still had Hannah there. And yeah, it was great to see her second on the stage. You know, we still haven't quite got that jersey, but it's still very, very reachable. It's only 1 second, so I think tomorrow's going to be incredibly hard, but we're up for the challenge.
How much did it take out of the team trying to bring back that first break?
You know, it definitely hurt us, but it didn't kill us. You know, we were able to manage it well enough because we did very much stick together as a team. You know, we pulled Lisa back, and she's so strong when it comes to doing those big pulls. And to start with, is we had Alice and myself to do that, so it was manageable. But then at the same time, when finally we got a break we're happy with, we were like, oh, we can breathe now, you know, and get a little bit of recovery because, yeah, that first hour, I can tell you I was hurting a lot.
Did you work with Sunweb in the end to take back the second break, or at least control the second break?
Yeah, in the end, you know, it was always a plan, like, to help. We just didn't want to help straight away. So we first put Alice in there and then Lisa a bit later, you know, because once it wasn't really going down from 4.5 minutes, we knew we needed a bit more speed and they needed a bit more strength in there because they weren't super strong, I guess. Like, they were maintaining it but not closing it. So, yeah, in the end we helped out. But Trek didn't put anyone in there. So, you know, I think it'll be change of face, whatever you want to say. Tomorrow we'll be forcing them to do the work and us to take advantage of them and then hopefully put the pressure onto them.
Green jersey still possible then for the team?
Absolutely. 1 second it's all to play for, and there's a pretty hard climb tomorrow. So we're definitely going all in.
Well, the green jersey at the start of the day was Leanne Lippert, the 21-year-old German on Sunweb. Is she 21 or 20? Her DS said she was 20 this morning when I spoke to him, but according to Tinternet, she's 21. You know, she obviously rode very well on the all three times up the climb to Burton Dassett, but today was a different order, really. And it was always going to be difficult for her. And I spoke to Hans Timmermans, her DS, at the start, and he seemed very realistic about her prospects. I noticed that she's on a very long deal with Sunweb. I think she's signed up to 2022. So they've really got her tied up for a long time. She's slipped right back down classification now. And they are a team that they do invest in riders for long periods of time, and they really do develop talent. So that's an interesting one. But I spoke to Hans Timmermans. We'll hear from him. Then we'll hear from Leanne Lippert briefly before the start. Then we'll hear from her after the stage when she was a little bit disappointed. Were you surprised by her performance yesterday, or was that one that you expected?
No, she crashed the day before, so that was a bit the question mark, but that she could do, that she could handle this kind of races, yes, I knew already, yeah.
She's very young. I mean, we haven't seen her, I guess, perform with those kinds of riders in this sort of race. Where did you see the signs that she was capable of that?
Now she won last year the Tour of Belgium. That's not this level, but it is already a sign that you can beat on a one lower level, that you can beat everybody, and she beat everybody on the Muur of Gerardsbergen. She just dropped them, so then you can see already, even when she's young, that she that she's something special on this part. And I think also yesterday, not only one time but three times going with the best riders, that was just super impressive, even for us.
I noticed that you've got her signed up for quite a few years with the team, so I guess that's a sign as well that the team believes that she's a kind of future star.
Yeah, and it also shows, even when we have also other big stars in the team, that we still believe in her and that we want to go for her. And I think for such a young rider, yeah, it's a perfect surroundings to be in a team where you get the confidence, and that we dare to ride for a young rider like that, even when, for example, today that she doesn't succeed, and still we give her the chance to go for it.
Well, I was going to ask, I mean, you got a lot of experience as a team of defending the lead in this race, and it's an experienced team that's here. What's the plan for today? What's the best way to try and defend that jersey?
I think defending it is going to be very difficult. I think we need to have a little bit of luck, and also the situation in the race needs to be a bit more in our favour. But I think really about talking about defending when you are in the same second as a world-class rider like Nibia Doma in the queen stage of a race like this, that's not super realistic. So we try to do our best, but we will not go over the limit for that. I think if Liane is in the end of this stage still in the top 10, then we are really happy with it, to be honest. She's still 20 years old, so...
She went very deep as well yesterday, it seems. She was, you know, she obviously dug very deep to stay with Nibia Doma on the climb. How has she recovered from that?
Good, yeah. No, I think she's ready. She's ready to go, but it's a hard, it's a different stage, longer climbs, and that's already a big difference compared to yesterday. And that's also a new experience for her. So for us, it's also just nice to see how she's doing that.
How are you feeling this morning, putting that jersey on?
Yeah, I'm feeling good this morning and looking forward to today's stage.
Recovered okay from yesterday?
Yeah, more or less. I think everyone is tired after the stages, but yeah, feeling good.
So does the team have a plan to help you defend it today?
Yeah, for sure. It's going to be hard to defend that jersey. They are world-class riders and I'm still young, but we will see.
First of all, how did it go for you and the team today?
It was a hard race from the beginning. Like, everyone wanted to make a break, and yeah, there was also a break gun with Lia in, which was a good situation for us, but they chased the bag, and yeah, it was just hard towards the climb, always rolling up and down, and yeah, it was okay until the climb, but afterwards it was really windy, and yeah, for me personally, I exploded on that part, and yeah, didn't make the front group, but yeah.
Are you happy with how you've done today?
No, I'm not. I wished I would be there, because on the climb I could follow, but just on the part after, not so. But I'm happy that Lia finished fourth and she won a bunch sprint. There was a group gun, but still, great performance by her.
And did you get to enjoy being in green at all, or was it just a lot of hard work?
Yeah, it was special for me to be in green, and yeah, but it was a hard race.
The cycling podcast Femina is supported by Science in Sport. Science in Sport, fueled by science.
Thank you very much to Science and Sport for their support of the Cycling Podcast Femina for many years. Well, since the start, they've supported the Cycling Podcast Femina. You can get 25% off all your Science and Sport products at scienceandsport.com with the code. And before you burst into song, chant, we've had a tweet from Adrian. I want to make a complaint. I listen to your podcast each morning on the way to work.
Oh my God.
Music sign, music sign, music sign, SISCP25 music sign has been in my head all day. Please. Please make it stop. Sorry. Sorry, Adrian.
Well, I'm just going to reinforce it. Let's compound that earworm.
Okay.
Bash the earworm into his skull.
It always takes me a moment just to get into it, though. Hold on.
This is the code.
SISCP25. SISCP25.
What a finale.
So someone said, if Lizzie Dynan wins, you have to sing, "She's just too good for you, she's just too good for you, she's just too good for you, she's just too good for you." And she did. So then, there you go, I've done it. I've done it now.
That was the code that you tap in at scienceandsport.com if you want 25% off your Science and Sport products. Poor Adrian, if that's stuck in your head, it's like a form of punishment.
Now he's got "She's just too good for you" stuck in his head.
I hope so.
for his
sake, I really hope so. Orla, you had a day in the Canyon SRAM car.
Yeah, I was privileged enough to have a front row seat in today's stage, although we spent a lot of the race, obviously, behind the race. But on a day like today, where Canyon SRAM was so active, it was brilliant to see all the different dynamics at play. So here is my day with Ronnie and Canyon SRAM.
So what's making it stressful? Yeah, you need to coordinate the four riders you have and need to make decisions what's good for the group or what's not. But we have one leader, it's Kasia, and now we need to pull Elisa back from the front group because she's no help for us there. She's needed in the bunch. And therefore, we then try to make combined strength.
And the gap is now 30.30 seconds for our leaders.
So do you quite like the tension then?
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's what sport is about. I mean, a little bit of adrenaline, a little bit of... I mean, you need to think what's good, what's wrong. So, I mean, that actually, situations like that today, that's why you get on the out racing. I mean, it's actually hard for the riders. It's not comfortable, but it's bike racing, so there's action. And I think that's why we all do it.
We
wait until the next climb. I let you know that climb.
I would say for the moment, no.
No.
Fine. Yeah.
Oh, we wait another 20 kilometers after the next climb, okay? You got it? No? At the moment, the gap is controllable, it's all good.
Yeah?
What's more important on a day like today? Trying to go for a stage win or getting the leader's jersey, or does one come with the other?
I think when we are able to make the victory today, then this will also mean to have the leader's jersey. And then, yeah, depending on how much time we can put into competitors, then it will give our strategy for tomorrow, what we need to do, what we have to do. So but it's still a long way. I mean, we still have 28 kilometers, so many things can happen, and it's too early to talk about whether we win this or not.
Lippert fliegt in Luft.
Yeah? So in the rear, Lippert's getting dropped from the chase group, Kasia. So the chase group is Kenuel who's chasing you. It's only Kenuel who's doing
the
race.
Our three leaders have an advantage of 25 seconds.
Come on, keep going. For now, you need to work together. For now, you need to work together.
Green jersey is being dropped from the second group on the road.
Yeah.
And at 10 kilometers to the finish, our three leaders have an advantage of 24 seconds over our lone chaser, rider number 66, and 45 seconds over the
45 seconds on the 10-kilometer mark, 45.
So if the three stay together until the very end, who's your money on?
On the final, unfortunately, I have to say it will be Dengnan. She's the fastest from that group, and yeah.
And our three leaders staying clear in the finishing straight.
Keep it up. Go, 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 go. Good job, Kasia. Second place today. Maximum outcome in that constellation. Very well done. Really good.
So how do you feel about that then?
I think with two track riders in the front, we weren't good enough to drop them on the climb. So second place today is nothing that you need to be unhappy about or to be complain about.
So that was Orla's day in the car with Canyon SRAM, and you picked a good day. Did you actually get up behind Nivea Doma, Longo Borghini and Lizzie Dagnan in the end?
Not right behind them, no, because there was never enough of a gap between them and the chasing group, and that made for a really exciting finish because we had Ronnie on the radio warning Kasia, you know, don't play too many games, don't any of the three of you be playing games because you could well be caught. I think what were they in the end? Within
17 seconds back was Leah Kurtzman fourth, so yeah, very close in the
because
end.
That came down from some 40 odd seconds. So it made for a really thrilling finish, actually. So, you know, we never got right behind them because there wasn't ever enough of a gap. But we could always see them.
But you did go past the green jersey.
We did.
Didn't you? On the road.
Saw her being dropped on that final climb. And yeah, I mean, it was fascinating to see all the riders being shelled because the peloton really did split, I think, pretty much from that first climb, really. But certainly in the second one, it just blew to pieces. And I love being in the car when that's happening because from the television, you only ever really see the front riders and whoever's in the break and maybe the chasing group and the leader's jerseys group. But to see them all coming off the back is a real privilege, I think.
Leanne Lippert, I mean, she wasn't far down going over the big climb. Obviously, she cracked a little bit on the run and lost 2 minutes 19 in the end and slipped down. So Leah Kurtzman is now Sunweb's best rider on GC. But yeah, I mean, those three, when they went over the top of that climb with a lead, I was standing watching with Stephen Fry, not that Stephen Fry, and he said they're not coming back, which was correct, but it was a lot closer and there was a lot of racing going on behind them, which I think is really impressive because, you know, when you talk about that Ardennes week even a couple of years ago, those three were so dominant then. Whereas here we've got a really close race and there are lots of riders who are still, they're still up there, they're still in contention, there's still a lot to play for tomorrow.
And that's one
Demi Vollering as well has moved way up today. She's up to fourth
just
overall.
Being the standout, I think, of this year so far, really. But that's one of the things that Ronnie was saying to me in the car as well, in terms of looking at the state of modern cycling. What's brilliant is to see the breadth and depth of the peloton. And we see different names now winning across the board, and we see different teams as well. There is, and it's difficult to say this with absolute certainty because we don't have Anna van der Breggen and we don't have Annemiek van Vleuten. But the fact that they're not here means that we do have such a range of riders who are winning races these days, and no one rider or no few groups of riders and no one team is really dominating, and that makes it very exciting to watch.
I do fear, however that tomorrow's final stage is going to be a little bit of a repeat maybe of last year's final stage, where we expected so much and it delivered so little, really, in terms of breaking the race up. The big climb tomorrow, what is it, Black Mountain, just over halfway through the race. It's a tough climb, not very steep, but long, but not hard enough to really do real damage, and too far from the finish to give a platform for somebody, I think.
But there is literally 1 second in this for the overall win. Like, Kasia Niewiedemir is 1 second behind Lizzie Dynan, and then the whole of the top 10 is within 1 minute and 2 seconds of each other. So there can be plenty of movement even on this last day. If the peloton manages to split, which I really hope it does, then there could be a huge amount of movement on that top 10 in GC.
And I think the difference this year is we're not building up to this stage. We're not needing this stage for the action. We've already had two fantastic stages. And yes, that category one climb does come in the middle, but we've got an intermediate sprint 31 kilometres in. We've got another intermediate sprint at 91 kilometres. So that's 57 kilometres from the end. And that's where we'll expect to see a lot of action tomorrow, because we just have that 1 second. Everything will be to fight for. It won't just be about that climb. They'll have to keep going until that next intermediate sprint. And then you've got the battle for the finish. So we will see races within the race tomorrow, which should make for really interesting. And we know that certain teams are ready to take this on. People aren't now sitting back. We're not seeing defensive racing. And we'll have to see Trek race a different kind of a race to today, because today we saw Sunweb and Canyon SRAM doing the lion's share of the work. Trek were able to capitalise on that. They can't do that tomorrow, so they've got to go on the offensive really to be able to defend at the same time. So I actually do think tomorrow should be good fun.
Listen, tomorrow after tomorrow's final stage, we're going to do a press conference. We haven't had many questions so far, so please do call in, leave a voice memo on WhatsApp. The number is +447971338205, +447971338205. Please do send us any questions at all, and we will deal with them after the stage tomorrow. Probably on the long drive.
So stern.
Probably on the long drive.
Deal with them. We'll deal with them.
Deal with them.
We should say though, it's not just about this race, because the Giro ones tend to be about racing, but it's not just about the race. It's about women cycling. It's about life on the road. Life with the buffalo.
It can be life in
life
general.
Life in general. Our thoughts on Brexit.
Orla's philosophy.
I've got philosophies on lots of things, actually.
Not Brexit, please.
On lots of things. No. About reality. I've thought a lot about reality recently and what it is.
Send us in your questions about reality.
And truth. Is there such a thing as truth? I don't think there is.
I'm just
sitting
here and my mind has just blown. So...
Well, blow your mind.
Rose, we had our minds blown earlier today.
We did,
at the start in...
disrespectful.
It's not disrespectful. In the region of Powys. I can't say it. I've tried. I can't say it.
What?
It's impossible. It's very hard to say. It's very hard to say.
Wait. Let's just, Orla, you just say it.
Well, I did it a few times and I think I maybe got it right.
Chandrindod.
Chandrindod.
It's hard. It's hard. Chandrindod.
Molly Weaver's mum told Anna. Thanks for this, Anna. Told me this was the happiest place in the UK. That place that we started in, Orla, which is
Chandrindod Wells.
That is the happiest place in the UK.
Wow.
I felt happy because we had a wonderful...
You always feel happy.
Always. I have to qualify that. I'm measured as well. We had the best meal.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Of the whole trip.
Oh, yeah. We have to actually give them a shout out because we stayed in a bed and breakfast, a guest house, which was called the Greylands Guest House in...
In Llandrindod Wells.
I'd love if you were saying it wrong every time.
And it was a couple who ran that, gave us the most fantastic breakfast this morning. It was a nice place and very reasonable. And
homemade orange bread, believe it or not. Mm. And we had cheddar and bacon porridge cakes with spinach. And we had little fried potatoes, mushrooms.
The porridge cakes were fascinating. They were made with porridge oats with egg white, cheese, and smoked bacon pieces. And they were absolutely delicious.
I think we all felt a bit experimental. I don't think we were that confident they would be that good. But they were amazing.
Is that a thing? Is that a Welsh
thing? No, I've never heard of that.
Okay.
No, I think their whole menus are just a little bit off the top of their heads. And it's wonderful.
It was great.
Very nice. So go there, Greylands Guest House. And then after the start, Rose, we went and paid a little visit to the National Cycle Museum, which was an absolute treasure trove. So here's a little bit from there. Look, Rose, it's a Cycling Podcast Femina bike.
It's perfect, isn't it? 1, 2, 3, 3 seats, like a three-person tandem.
What order would we go in?
Well, if you went on the front, then it would be a very good windbreaker for me and Orla, wouldn't it? We could probably sit up behind you.
Yeah, and I think that'd probably be the most aerodynamic as well, with the egg shape that it would give us.
Yes, perfectly formed. But then one of us would have to just stare at your bum, which would be less pleasant, wouldn't it?
I don't know. I mean,
you looked pretty good in your cycling kit yesterday, Richard. Can't deny that. But
taking yourself out of a hole now. Right, Rose, where are we?
We are in the National Cycle Exhibition or National Cycle Collect. It's got lots of names. Or in Welsh, I won't even try that. That'll be embarrassing. I'm not even going to try. But we are in a cycling museum.
National Cycle Museum, I thought it was called. But it's
there you are.
Flying Scott.
Yeah, that's you, Richard, isn't it? That was you yesterday on that climb.
Yeah.
The Flying Scott.
They were much sought after, Flying Scott frames. David Rattray. Billy Connolly had one, still has one, I think.
Wow, this one, the beautiful designs on it as well. That's what I know about bike tech, you can tell. The colour is key, the colour. And we have here, look.
Oh yeah, there it is. Your own Blylevens low-profile bike from his TVM days from 1995. I mean, no idea how or why it ended up here. We must ask
him. Did he not? Oh, you haven't asked him yet? It would be interesting to know. Look at that frame. Isn't it bizarre?
So that was the National Cycle Museum, a flavour of, and then we came to finish, and it's been a good day and a great day's racing, and we look forward to a final good day's racing tomorrow with a lot still to play for. So let's drive, shall we?
We've got a podcast to finish, don't we? As in, not ours. We've got another podcast to finish listening to, which you're enjoying on the way
here. Oh, yes, very much so, yeah.
Louis Theroux and Adam Buxton.
Mm. Yeah.
We're going to finish that off in their splendid company. And get to Carmarthen.
Carmarthen tonight. Yep. So let's go. Thank you very much, Orla.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rose.
Thanks, guys.
You're listening to the Cycling Podcast Feminine, brought to you by Skoda. Dedicated to closing the gender gap in cycling, one race, one cyclist at a time. This is our time.